So in the same vein, if you have a society that has properly defined family well, and that is very close to the truth, you will see the outcome. They will produce almost perfect men. When you have a society, I'm just saying now, hypothetically, a society that defines family right, that perfectly, you get it, that society is going to produce perfect men. You get what I'm trying to say? Men and women.
Hello. Welcome to the Thought Revolution podcast by Kingsley. So let's get right to it.
Now, just to recap, this is a continuation of the series on the family, individual, and the relationship with the society. So, this is a follow up to the last episode that we had. The first one was on the importance of marriage, you understand, and why it is important for us to understand the right context for us to for choosing who to marry. You know, if the motivation for choosing the right person, if it is affected, if it is adversely affected, and everything, then there's very little that we can do. You understand? So we talked about the preponderance of money, the exaltation of the importance of money when choosing the right person, and we saw how difficult, how dangerous that was. And we also talked about why your vision. First of all, understanding who you are, understanding your vision is your first and primary responsibility and duty as an individual. And then your vision as the right compass to choose, you understand, to navigate this murky water of choosing the right person. You get it? Understand yourself, understand who you are, understand your vision, and use that as a criteria for determining who and what person to choose. That you want to get married to, both for guys and for ladies, you know. So those are my opinions and everything. Like I said, I'm not coming here to say, okay, this is I am a marriage counselor. No, I'm not saying it. You get it? I'm saying that based on my research, based on my experiences, based on my meditations and everything, these are the things I came up and I feel they are important, they are right. You get it? Because that is what I'm using to guide my life. You get it? So and that is my opinion, and I want us to start a conversation along that line, because you know, it is in the process of having conversations that are going to get to the truth. Now, I'm not saying that I have the truth fully figured out and everything. I'm trying to learn too. But if you agree with me, very good and everything, let me know. If you have a contrary opinion, please let me know also. Let me hear your reasons. Let us reason it out, because I also want to get to the truth with regards to this issue. Because the truth of the matter, one thing that I know for certain is this: if the family unit is not functional, if it is dysfunctional, the society is on its way to destruction. And it is even impossible for you to even build a society when the family unit is not functional, it's not together. That much I know. You understand what I'm trying to say? And I want to get to the truth with regards to that. The first thing that we have to do to save to guard the institution of marriage is to talk about. You get, let us try and expose and talk about the process of getting married first, because that's where it all starts. If the foundation of this is destroyed, what will the righteous do? But the second one I'm going to be talking about today is on the issue of the family unit, the structure of the family unit. And typically, most of us we grew up understanding that, okay, the man is the head of the family, and then the woman is the nurturer, keeps the family, you know, and then you have the children on and on like that. So right now in our society, you know, that's what we grew up with, most of us millennials and on like that. So right now there is now a cultural, in quotes now, cultural shift where people are now saying that okay, women can do anything, men can do anything. The traditional roles are traditional roles, that they don't have any importance in the modern world, and this and that and everything. So women are saying that that the man does not have to be, it's not the head of the home, that we are just their co-partners and this and that, and that anybody can do whatever responsibility. Now we now have house husbands the way we had housewives. Wife can work and this and that and everything. So now like I said, our primary consideration right now is the family and its place in society. A dysfunctional family is a dysfunctional society. So we'll now look at this structure of the family, the gender roles and everything. How is it affecting the family? What is its effect on the family, and then by extension the society, because that's our primary responsibility. You understand? Now, the first thing to point out is this. After we've said all these things, okay, this modern interpretation of family, what is the effect on family? This modern, okay, you see, men are supposed to be this, women are supposed to be this, women and men, they are co-partners and this and that. What, how has, in societies that have practiced this, how has it affected the family structure in those countries? How are they faring? You understand? Go to Scandinavia, go to Europe, other European countries also, go to America. Those are the people that are really pushing this ideology. How is it affecting them? You understand? And you look at many of all these countries, you know, you see the family structure is almost destroyed, it's all but gone. You understand? And by extension, their society is beginning to crumble. These are societies that have been built for many, like America, took over 200 years, approaching 200 and more than 250 years, because if you want to count when the American society was built, you can't just say okay from 1776. They've been existing in some form much earlier than that. You understand? So if you want to look at 1776 alone and everything, it's approaching 250. They've existed for quite a number of years. That's a feat, you know, for any society to exist. And you look at their society today, you get it. Many of the fundamental structures that undergird their society is crumbling. You know, there is no cohesion anywhere. Their political system is gone. Their economic system is faltering. You understand? There's prophecies of like a looming terrible economic downfall that is supposed to cripple their economy, their society itself. What values are they passing across? If you go to say, okay, you want to learn something from today's America, what exactly can you learn from it? Absolutely nothing. Do you understand? Their society is like crumbling. You get it? Are you going to attribute everything to the fact that, okay, maybe not everything, but that is going to give you like a picture of the kind of society that promotes these things. Look at Europe. Europe is all but gone. You understand? It's not a shadow of itself. Like I said in a previous video, if you want to value many of all these societies, there is very little that you can gain from this world, because this is not the kind of society that we want to build. You get it? If you want to value anything from these guys, you go to the time when they were being built. For America in the 19th century, the late 19th century, that is when America was really, the real foundation of America was being built, when everything was strong. It wasn't perfect, not in a long stretch, you understand, but at least a stable society, a strong, a thriving society was being built. You understand what I'm trying to say? So if you want to get any, you go to that is the generation, not this generation. And you go to the same thing with Europe too. You go to much earlier for Europe, because during the late 19th century, Europe was already going down. This was a continent that was very tiny. Very, very tiny. You understand? If you put Europe in West Africa, it will get lost. You understand? If you put Europe in Sahara, it will disappear. You understand what I'm trying to say? But they controlled like close to 90% or exerted some form of influence on like close to 80-90% of the whole world. Like when I mean influence, like significantly, to the extent that most of these countries now speak European languages as the first or second languages. You understand what I'm trying to say? China, everywhere all over the world, very influential people. But look at them right now, they are just struggling to, they cannot even, Russia, just one country. You know what I'm saying? Population, very small population, a fraction of theirs, is now using energy to make, to put them to flight and everything. To taunt them. You understand? A lot of things are going wrong with their country. You know, their country, if you look at them right now with Africa, you say, but they're better than Africa and everything. But what were they a few decades earlier? You understand? They are declining. I don't want them to decline. At least let us get our acts right first. Because at least people have a place to run to for soccer. You understand? So I'm not saying this like, okay, no, Europe, I'm not gloating. What is there to gloat about? I'm saying with pain in my heart, like, these societies, why are you guys letting your society go down? And one of the things that they have done, one of the pointers to all these things is actually the family structure. Because when the family structure is family is like an engine that manufactures human beings for the society. You understand? And if you manufacture defective human beings to the society, they will in turn bring their defective ideas on society and society will start declining. You understand what I'm trying to say? So now let us now go to the structure of the family. What is the right structure of the family? You get it? Who should be the head of the family? Who should be occupying what role and what should be the responsibility of everybody in the family? You understand? And for us to understand this thing, we must get one point very, very clear. There is no specified structure for any family anywhere. There is the truth about the family. Based on the truth of about the human, the man, the truth about the woman, the truth about children, adolescents, teenagers. You know what I'm trying to say? There's a truth about each of those, and from those you can actually form the truth about an ideal family. However, in this world today, there is no society that has it perfect yet. I'm not saying it is not possible. I'm saying, because you will never get me say, it's very difficult for you to get me say anything that is not possible in my mouth, because I've seen things that with God, all things are possible. You understand what I'm trying to say? A perfect and ideal family is possible. We can achieve it. You understand? However, there's no society that has gotten it perfect yet. But like I said before, there's the truth about everything. The religious system, the cultural, sociocultural system that defines family closest to the ideal system will be the most stable. And you will see it in the outcome of their society. You understand what I'm trying to say? Because one of the characteristics of the truth is that it has fruit. You can see it, and this is the truth. One of the characteristics of wisdom is that you can see it. Amen. This is it. Because when somebody is walking in wisdom, when somebody is walking in the truth, you will see the outcome in their lives. You get what I'm trying to say? So in the same vein, if you have a society that has properly defined family well, and that is very close to the truth, you will see the outcome. They will produce almost perfect men. When you have a society, I'm just saying now, hypothetically, a society that defines family right, that perfectly, you get it, that society is going to produce perfect men. You get what I'm trying to say? Men and women. Now you're forced to make distinctions. But when I say men, I'm talking about the human race. When I'm talking about the male, you get it, I will specify. But when we're talking about society, you get it. Okay, it will provide perfect people. You get what I'm trying to say? So that's how it is. You get what I'm trying to say? Okay, so now you get. So like I was talking about religion the last time. Religion defines the relationship between the individual and his environment, both human and non-human environment, especially the human component of that relationship. So one of the things, one of the relationships that religion defines is actually the relationship between the individual and his immediate family members. You get it? So it defines the structure. How is an ideal family? How is it supposed to look like? You understand? Like I told you before, there's no particular way that family is supposed to be in this world currently. Every society has it defined to them. You get it? By their culture. You get what I'm trying to say? Now, we have the Christian, the Judeo-Christian definition of marriage. We have the Islamic definition of family, not the Judeo-Christian definition of family. We have the Islamic. We have many religious systems, Hindu, Buddhist. We have everybody, every society, every culture defining family in a particular way. Even in Africa, in Nigeria, for example, we have Christians define how marriage is supposed to be. For example, a man or woman, children. We have the Islamic definition, stuff like that. We have we have different, even traditional religious systems and stuff like different cultures, individual culture, the Bini culture, the Calabar, the Efik, the Akwa, Anang. My mother is Anang, my father is Efik. Both of them, they are both, everybody calls them Calabar, but the way the family is structured in those stuff has some differences. You understand what I'm trying to say? Funny enough, you get it. For example, in the Efik, the woman can be the king. In Anang, it is impossible, almost impossible for the woman to be king or head of the family. You get it. But Efik, it is okay, very, very okay. You understand what I'm trying to say? And different things like that. You get what I'm trying to say? So each of all those, they actually have, but there is actually a line that joins everything together, and we are going to talk about it. You know, when we are talking about religion, you are going to see how these things play out. Now, fundamentally, almost all cultures that define marriage, this is the overall framework that they use. For most, almost 100%, the man is the head of the family. He's supposed to provide for the family, protect the family. You understand what I'm trying to say? So depending on how the society is, if it, for example, a capitalist society, it is the responsibility of the man to go and look for a job to make himself useful to society so that he can get in bringing capital into the family, regardless of how the family is structured. So if you go to Europe, for example, the reason why I like using Europe for when I'm trying to go back to history is because I'm still trying to get full. The history of Africa is seriously fragmented. During colonial, they really dealt a terrible blow to African history, especially in the past 400 years. You know, we have to go back and bring them back. You understand? And hope to God that they've not. I don't want to just go into that. So, but the bulk of the information, the empirical information about those times and everything, they are usually European that we have, that I have. You get it? And by the grace of God, we are going to fix the history of Africa. But generally speaking, it is still the same thing. You understand what I'm trying to say? Even though they are different areas, the general principles are still the same thing. You get what I'm trying to say? You get. So if you now go to, for example, like I said, the man is usually the provider and the protector in the family. So if we go back into the early industrial era, the types of the where you get money, yes, for the home, but the types of jobs that are available are usually factory jobs, especially in Europe, you know. And so the men will have to go out, go and look for factory jobs, get factory jobs, and then get the money to stuff. That is in cities. So in more rural areas or in earlier periods when it was mostly agrarian, the man will try to go and look for how to get tenants depending on the economic structure. You understand? So if it is the feudal system in Europe and all over, almost in most places in all over the world, you understand? I don't know what system we use in Africa then. You get it. The feudalistic system that was very prominent during the Middle Ages. You go and look for lords where they can actually become tenants in their place and then get the land. Everybody in the family, men, women, everybody work on the farm, and then they give whatever due they want to give so they can get food. You understand? There's not much money, then it's just food. Get food, exchange what you want to exchange with your community, and you are good. You get what I'm trying to say? So fundamentally, it is the man that goes out to go and get all those things to the family. Then the woman is responsible for raising the children. You understand? And nurturing everybody in the family. So whatever the man brings to the house, the woman uses the money, buys food, and takes care of the family. And in many of those societies, especially in earlier part, the woman is responsible for educating the children. You understand? When I mean educate, teaching them the right values. If they are Christian, teach them Christian values, whatever values. That's the typical European country society right now. You understand? Teach them the values, train them, and on like that. You get it? And that is the same thing that happens. I will talk about because the easiest way to look at what's happening, what's obtainable in African society, what you used to obtain in African society, is to look at the villages. You understand? So I will go to that. So that's what the woman usually is responsible for. Nurturing everybody in the family. The man protects, provides all the to ensure that the family unit is protected from the external influences, from the hard dangers. Like I would say, when I mean hard, I mean physical dangers, hunger, theft, different things I can see that are physical and everything. The man protects, creates a boundary for them. Family, you get it. While within the family, it is the woman that now protects the family from soft dangers, ideas and stuff like that. Then also hunger and this and that. Protect the woman, nurtures the family from within to ensure that it is actually healthy. You get it. So now these are clear stuff how for most societies generally, I just use this as a case study, but for most societies, that is the general, roughly the general framework that the family is, how the family is structured, generally speaking. You know, if there are other examples, I'd like to know. You understand? So I'd like to know other examples. If you can let me know other examples of how other variations, if there are any variations from this. But fundamentally, from all my research, that is how it is. You understand? Then we now have the postmodernist definition of marriage, which tries to question this structure that I just talked about. So like, to, you know, based on the premise that okay, women were oppressed, women are oppressed. So this is actually a ploy to keep a woman in the house and on like that. So they now define the family, at least roughly speaking, because there's no specific definition. Because now I feel this is what my take on this postmodernist thing that's going on. You understand that? Okay, look, they try to question. Postmodernism tries to question traditional values, to poke holes on it. You understand? To say, okay, look, if this is it, why don't we try it this way? You get it? Now, you get it. And so, generally speaking, if you say man is the head of the family, why can't the woman be the head of the family? If woman is natural, why can't the man be natural? Yeah, on and on like that and this and that. So, that's just fundamentally what it does. Now, based on these two that I've given, now individual societies now have variations of all of them. So the way the current European, the old European societies before the culture, counterculture, revolution of 1950, you understand, the way they interpreted this particular man is the head, woman is natural, is different from how the typical African society does that. It's different from how the Indian be Asian, Chinese. It differs from how the typical Native American. It's different from how each society defines it. For example, Arabs, Muslims, they believe that a man can marry more than one wife. Get it? They set up to four prescription. You understand? Why most Judeo-Christian based societies is just one wife. You get it? And also again, by reason of the influence of the English common law, which was built on Judeo-Christian values. English common law, even the French civil law, is also one wife. I'm not sure of the French, but I'm sure of the English. It's one man, one wife. And all. You get it. So most societies that were built on those foundations, those laws, those foundations, it's one man, one wife. But in many Islamic societies, I don't know of Hindus and other pockets of other religious systems or cultural systems, but fundamentally that is how it is. But each of them, they have their variations. You understand? So now let's like I was saying, now there are differences. You get it? There are variations. So basically what I did, I categorized the family structure into two: the father, head, mother, nurturer, and children, one side, which I believe which most cultural systems practice, and then there is the postmodernist alternative. Like I was trying to say earlier, that look, there's no particular okay, this is the ideal way of stuff and everything. We have to figure out what system is going to work for our society. You understand? And on the basis of that, based on our religious teachings and our cultural practice, our experience and whatsoever, we now decide, okay, this is going to be it. There's nothing that is right, there's something that is wrong. Whatsoever we choose, yeah, that's the word. There's no system that is right, that is wrong. Whatsoever system we choose, we are going to get repercussions. That's all. She get it. So when it comes, you say, this is wrong. No, if the postmodernists say, okay, the woman can be the head of the family, there's nothing wrong. If society accepts it, But the truth of the matter is that there is repercussion for that. You understand? And we saw the example of the black family in America. You get it? When they tried it out, they used them as an experiment. And they saw the repercussion in that community. If they take the black community out of America and they put them in a separate country, they cannot survive. The society will collapse on its because there's no cohesion in most of in their communities. It's just now that they are trying to see how they can bring it together. And if they can coalesce at the bring it together at the family level, then their society is going to start healing itself. You know what I'm trying to say? So now let us know. So we have to be very circumspect, we have to be very, very careful. When we handle this thing, it's very, very important. So now let us now look at the structure of society, of the family unit. You get it? On the basis of this more stable system, where the father is the head of the family, the woman. So let us look at the gender roles and then use that as a basis to now talk about certain societal issues that have been raised up to see if we can actually say anything about it. And after I've given my opinion, then we can now start having a discussion. So let us talk about it. Like I said, I'm not a marriage expert. I'm just giving my opinion about this issue. I am much more interested in the effect on the society. So now look at it. Now let's look at it. Let's first of all, the first thing we're going to look at it is look at the roles with regards to the upbringing of the child. You know, initially, for these single mother homes, you understand, these infamous single mother's homes that are all over the place and everything, that they are high in all. Usually, where they lose the children is when the children start entering into their teenage years. You understand? That's where they lose the children. The initial stages of our development, where we are very dependent and everything, the mother is king. You get it? It is the mother's touch. That is what gives us our humanity. You get it? Dependency gives us humanity. It confers on human beings humanity. That's what makes us empathetic. That's when our emotional intelligence is developed. You get it? Some people usually accuse women that they are very I'll get to that soon, very soon after this statement. When you see a child, where a child is growing up and everything. So the example, my sister and the husband, you get it. So when their child was born, I spent some time with them. So I said, okay, look. And I noticed something. She was always complaining that he's not always observant. You understand? The child can be sneezing. You just leave the child like that, and this and that. And don't you? Even me too, because you know me, I'm not involved. Now just keep quiet. I just look at her. Because the thing that the husband didn't notice, me, I didn't notice it. She was the only person that noticed it. You understand what I'm trying to say? She's the one that will notice that this child, she was walking 2 minutes yesterday. It's not working 1 minute today. Is there a reason why? She'll go to the internet, go and say, child working 2 minutes yesterday, working 1 minute, and because she's going to see information. Mother, similar mothers who have experienced child that was walking 2 minutes, crawling 2 minutes. So all those particular tiny things, to know when the child is hungry, to know when the child is cry that is hunger cry, the cry that is shit cry, different things. Is the mother that, you know, they usually accuse women that they are very finicky. Yeah, you are too. What is this word that they usually, is not supposed to be a good word? They say they are too petty. That's the word. They say women are too petty. You are too petty. Ah, thank God that they are petty. If they are not petty, almost all of us, half of us would have died at childbirth. It's because when you say petty, that is what makes them know all those tiny, pick out all those small changes. Even in the husband, when you know that the husband came today and everything, his smile was usually like 1 minute smile. This time and everything, it was 30 seconds and everything. And there has to be, you know, those small things. And also when we are growing up and everything, it is the mother that we notice. That's why when we see all these issues in society, you see a child doing this, it's the mother that will go to. Because it is the mother that is supposed to note all those things. You get it? When a child comes and everything, the dress of the child usually is like this, and then the dress is not like this. When the child is talking and everything, it's usually he or she usually uses a particular word, but now he or she's not using a particular word. All those small tiny things. When they say train up a child in the way, it should go, that's what they are talking about. You get it? Most of those training is going to be done by the mother, because it's the mother that understands how to decode some of all the. It is the mother that we. Do all those things. That is the advantage. That is what a woman can do that a man cannot do. We are not that particular. We are not that picky. You understand? Most men are not structured that way. Most men are trained to see things at the big picture things. Those are the things that we can pick. But women will pick all those small things. That's why most of the time, it is at those stages, that is when the child is formed. That is why when God wants to communicate a vision, he goes to the woman. I don't know if I've said this before, but usually, when I was doing the research, you get what I'm trying to say, when I was trying to research for this particular stuff, I discovered one thing in the Bible, that almost 100%, except in few occasions, a notable exception was John the Baptist. When there's a great person that is about to be born, a great man that is about to be born, the first person that usually gets the information is the mother of that person, most of the time. If the child is going to be born and it's going to be something, you get it. When you say it's a proper child, like in the case of Moses, it's going to be, I'm going to use him in case of Samuel, and he's going to be a great man. If he says this is something, it's going to be this in terms of Jesus. Most of those examples, it's usually the woman that God is going to speak to first, before the child was even conceived, so that the child will know, the woman will know how to conduct herself, how to train the child. The formula is the woman that God negotiates with to raise the child. When they say taking care of the family, that's what they are talking about. The destiny of the child is the woman that usually gets the inclining to that destiny first. Sometimes they will not communicate it to the husband, as in the case of Samson. The angel came. He appeared to Samson's mother before Samson was born. He said, this child that you are going to born is going to deliver Israel. He is going to be a Nazarite. No, something shall come upon his head. He shall not take any strong drink. Blah 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 blah. Give her the prescription. She was a very loving wife. She now went to go and tell the husband. I said, this is what I've seen. The husband said, are you sure? I'm going to pray to God. Let me see this too. The husband now prayed to God that, God, if you have shown this, if this thing that I've said is from you, let me see it too and everything. The angel now came back again. But he didn't appear to the man. He appeared to the woman. And I said, wait first. And I want to go and call the husband. The husband called, come and see the angel. It was the husband now said, yeah, prove this. The woman has already gotten her. Prove the. After I now proved, I said, okay, this is it. But it was the woman first. So when they are talking about, like, the woman is supposed to take care of the family, that's what they are talking about. That thing. Taking care of the individuals, the souls in your family. That's what they are talking about. It's not cooking. I can cook. More than Abi Calabar used to tell me, I say most Calabar will have another. I can cook more than like probably like 80% or 85% of women in the world. That's it. I can cook very well. I can learn anything. I can cook and everything. I will cook. I don't mind. Shake it. I will help my wife. I don't believe in that. Shake it. Personally, that's Kingsley me. There are some men that don't know how to cook. It's no problem. It's not a requirement for them. A woman you are supposed to know how to cook is going to make your work easier. You get it? But it's not cooking. That is not cooking. It's not washing plates. That is not it. You get it? It's deeper than that. You are supposed to be a... I don't want to go spiritual. But the work is... The responsibility is both spiritual and physical. It's not just physical. You understand? Ensuring that, okay, take care of the children. For example, when my mother was alive, anytime I wanted to go out, she said, you must not go out before eating. You must eat first. Because my father left. You get, my father was not very stable in the house. You get it. So when I'm very particular about the family structure, the fact that we didn't turn out terrible. There's many things in my life that the Holy Spirit had personally that I'm even still struggling with. That was because of that lacuna that was there. But my mother did her best, but do you get what I'm trying to say? The family unit is very, very important. Very, very, very important. Very, very important. You get it? She'll say, please, you cannot go out without eating. He said, what if your fellow man hits you? You now fall down because you don't have food in your belly. Those are the things, small things like that. As a man, I didn't even notice. I didn't even think up to that. It was when she told me that would enter my head. You're supposed to eat. Breakfast is supposed to be good. See where she took it from. And if you know why, it is now scientifically proven that breakfast is the most important meal. You get what I'm trying to say? It's mostly spiritual. It's also physical, yes, but it's mostly spiritual. Taking care of the family. That is what women are supposed to do. That's what the devil is trying to take away from the family unit. Rob you off. Because at the end of that Proverbs chapter 31, what is it her work that praised her? Who praised her at the end of that Proverbs chapter 31? Is it the vineyard that she gave? That they say how the vineyard you created was the... Who praised her? They say your children shall rise up and call you blessed, and your husband too. Those are the people you are taking care of. Those are the ones that will remember you. Those are the ones that will reward you. You understand what I'm trying to say? Don't let the devil rob you. As a young woman, what is going to give you the greatest satisfaction in life is to raise very deeply what you have poured into your family. I'm going to talk about work. Work is also... I'm going to talk about the place of work also. You get it? Now, for the child, the early stages of the child, the woman is the king. She's the one that is... That is... responsible. But when the child starts getting to the age of the teenage years, and their emphasis is no longer about developing the basic foundations of the human makeup. You understand? That's where you develop your humanity. You finish with that stage. They now start questioning their identity. When they get to that stage, women cannot handle it historically. You cannot handle that stage. It's not about understanding. It's not about empathy at this stage. It's about firmness. The child needs firmness. Needs a, 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 a stable center. You understand? It needs a strong direction to know how to orient their lives. You understand what I'm trying to say? When you are trying to determine your identity in life, that is where the man now comes into play. That's when most of the time where the women lose their children. Have you seen this movie, Tyler Perry's Single Mother's Club? Most of the children were only their early teens. Most of the children were their early teens. That was when they rebelled against their mothers. Because you can't understand it. That is when the father's firmness is now, when they now start questioning everything. When they now start becoming rebellious, and quote, they are not rebellious. You get, they are questioning what you have taught them. That's why I said everybody passes through the progressive state. That is our own progressive state. That's where we start questioning everything that we've been taught. That is where the man's firmness now comes into play. If they do anything, you report them to the man. That means the man, of course, we've already established the foundation before, that the man must know exactly what he's doing. That's why if you see, almost 100% of the time, the people that inspire most people on the path to take is their fathers. Because during the later stages of their life, I'm talking about an ideal situation now. Their fathers or a father figure in their lives. Those are the ones that will not help them orient. They won't usually, you don't have to take after your father. You understand? But you will orient your life based on the work that your father has made, based on the mistakes he has made, everything that he has made. That's how you orient your life most of the time. So the early stages is the mother, then at the other stage, that is where you need your husband the most. Talking about the woman now, you get it, but generally speaking, that's it. Sure, you get it. So it is after the child, man has helped the child to find his direction in life, find his identity, his place in life and everything, and the child is now released. You understand? In many societies, it's a little bit more organized for the boys at the ages of 12, 13, and then you go and enter into apprenticeship with your father. You learn his trade and everything, then he's the one that will now settle you after the apprenticeship is done, or take you to a fellow, another person to for you to learn apprenticeship under the person if you are going to do something different. You get it? Based on the feedback that he has gotten from your child, okay, this person is more, he's better, he's going to be better in school, this one is going to be better as a carpenter, he's going to be better, in whatsoever, stuff like that. So if we can organize our society this way, don't you know that we are going to have a more stable society than all this chaos that is all over the place? You don't need the man. And if one of the important questions that the woman, one of the boss lady in that Single Mother's Club, that's the question I'm going to pose to most of our ladies stuff, because this particular one is talking about ladies, and I'm going to still talk about our guys also. Is it, she said, when I was asking, I did not anticipate that she was going to ask these questions. There are certain questions in life that you've not anticipated. You understand what I'm trying to say? That is going to be asked you that you don't have an answer for. This system, they've not thought it through. It's a chaotic system. It doesn't work. Look for a man that you can submit to and enter into and start a family. Look at my previous video for that. I talked about that. Previous podcast, I talked about that. Should you get it? And you have peace of mind. You understand? It's a tried and I've gone through history. I've read it. I've thought about it. I've spent hours, sometimes sleepless nights. I'm not just wake up in the night and be thinking about funny things. These are the funny things I think about. I just like it. I have not seen. This system is tried and tested. It's a reliable system. I don't want to make mistakes in marriage. My mother suffered seriously. And I don't want to make any mistake in marriage. So I expect my time to see a system that works. So I have tried. I'm not experienced different. It's different from, but when you are guided by principles and everything, you will save yourself many of the problems, mistakes that people make. You understand? This system works. You understand what I'm trying to say? It's a lie that you are being sold. You cannot get fulfillment from jobs. Stuff like that. So let's leave that and everything. Okay? Then there's you get it. And for the guys, you get it. You have to, of course, you know. That's, I think I was really heavy on the last time. You get it? Let's be focused. You have your focus. Focus on what you are supposed to do. Focus on God and focus on your work. You get it? That's where your attention should be. When you are faced with this question, that is what you use to communicate to your children, both to the males and to the females. You all know someone trying to say. That is it. Okay, and then there's this other one about the fact that women are being oppressed in this patriarchal system. They are being oppressed. And I think we've talked about it, that look, when you're talking about take care of the family, you are not talking about washing of plates. Anybody can wash plates. Proverbs 31, woman had needs. She even had a business. Businesses. Was also this clothing-making business. There was a vineyard that she managed and stuff like that. So she was a very good businesswoman. So even in the Bible, that is supposed to be the most conservative, and then they are supposed to work. When they say that there's historical prejudice against women in African society, just look at it, and I look at my head is still attached to it. Well, actually, and there's a brain inside. Like, I was just like, did you really think through, or you're just hearing what Americans are saying, and you're saying it? Even America's own concept, there are a lot of questions about that assertion in America. Okay, but if you come to Africa, look, honestly, look, you want the best way to, like I said, for the best way to understand African society is to go to the villages. How many of your grandparents are sitting there in the house and your grandfather is the one doing all the work? What are you saying? When I went to my grandparents' house and everything, the grandfather is the one that is staying in the house. He's the one that has the houses, the land. You understand? He's the one that wants goes outside to go and secure the land. It is the women that farm the land, most of the land. He has agriculture, he has farmers that farm the big plantations. That's when he gets the money to send children to school, university and stuff like that, the big things. But the feeding of the children, clothing of the children, and even feeding he himself is the wives that do that. You get it? That's the arrangement. So each of them will have, this week you feed him, next week he has about 3 or 4 wives or something like that. That's, he had married quite a lot of many wives. And you get what I'm trying to say? So the week that you feed him, and then you have conjugal visit with him and blah blah. That's the way that I did the arrangement and stuff like that. You get what I'm trying to say? Well, he's the one that has all the land and everything. It is the women that feed that farm and take the produce to take care of the farm. It is the women that are in the market and stuff like that. The economy of the typical African is run by women, historically. So at what point did you say that were you oppressed or all stuff and everything? Is it a brief period that you had colonialism? Colonialism in Nigeria was not 200 years. You know that, right? At what point did women, with men, accumulate so much distance that there's now a historical difference between men and women, that all over the place is now girl child, as if we don't have male children? All this madness, where is it coming from? Where did you get your history from? Go and get me data. Where did you get your history from? Where the historical stuff with women? At what point? Most African societies, the women are the ones that run the economy. Because the economy is mostly agrarian and commercial, markets. Who are the people, if you go to markets today, who are the people dominating the markets? It's not women. So what's the problem? People don't just get ahead of myself. Let me not get to... Look, this is how an ideal system is supposed to run. Under normal circumstances, you get it. The fact that you are raising... You are taking care of your family does not mean that you cannot have a career. To analyze this issue, let me just use a thought experiment. You get it? So as to put everything in the proper perspective. So at the early stages of life, when the child, the husband, the wife, they are still trying to figure themselves, new words and stuff like that. You get it? The man, that's not, if you've not started earning from your vision, you should go and look for a job. a survival job. When I mean survival, I'm not saying be clear. You can be a banker. You can be an executive in the company. Just go and look for a job that is paying, that pays you well based on your qualification, so that you can get money. Your emphasis at that time is to get money to take care of your family. You get it? And women, the way our mothers have been doing, even if you want to get a job, get something that is going to give you time. You understand? I used to tell people, then after you have finished the whole the early stages of the child and everything, you have more than enough time. You've already done a very important part of your job. And then you can now pursue career. If you start career, in economics, there's something called opportunity cost. What is the opportunity? I'm not saying that you can manage. No, I'm just giving an ideal situation. Let me give you an example. Let me just point something out that became obvious to me some time ago. If you, let's assume 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, that's what I feel is ideal for a woman to get married under normal circumstances. 24, 25. Let's assume that you get married at 25 years old. Let's assume that. And you spend the first 10 years of your life. I'm not saying you are not working. You can be doing whatever you are doing. But the emphasis is on your children. You spend the first 10 years of your life trying to raise the children and stuff like that. Then I enter into the labor market in your 30s, early 30s, 35 maximum, and stuff like that. Now your children, your first child is already 10 years old, so you can manage the whole thing. Right? I'm just giving an idea. So there are so many things that can go that might not go out. But let's assume that is the pattern, that pattern that you follow and everything. Are you trying to say that between 35, how many of you even between that 35, 45, 6, 55, 60, you can build any career within those period, during those period. And you're not going to be under normal circumstances, you're not supposed to even be at that stage. Because your husband by that time would have already gotten, because the man would have been working too for 10 years too. You understand? So you won't even start from scratch anymore. So the thing is this, apart from the obvious, if you want to simplify it and everything, it is to your advantage. When you now get to 45 years old, you would have spent like 10 years in your career. But your children would have been entering to university. You start looking for how to start reaping the benefits. For Christ's sake. It is to your advantage. And short of everything is this. Both the guy and the lady, the man and the woman, the early part of your life, you will have to sacrifice it for the sake of the family. The man, your focus will be on making money, getting the resources that your family needs to continue to survive. You understand? So it can, if your vision, whatever you're trying to do with your life, if it's not capable of producing enough money, you have to suspend it or lay less emphasis on it. I'm going to look for a job, normal job, what I call survival job. I'm not saying bricklayer. Use your skill, whatever skill you have, to get the highest earning job that is available, regardless of the effect on your own life. And then secure it for your family. And the same thing with the woman. You get it, your emphasis will be to give your children the needed foundation. Your focus will not be on any type of one job. You can work, you can do anything, but the focus should be on raising your children, that initial stage of your life. You understand? Now, there are many other things that needs to be handled at the society level, but with what we have right now, we can start making the necessary changes so as to give our society the needed foundation that we need to thrive. You understand? The problem is multifaceted. You get it? And we'll talk about it from time to time, but we need to fix this problem at this stage. We need to fix it. This is the right formula for how a family is supposed to be. This formula is tried and tested. We cannot build a society on this new system. It does not work. It never works. Until some other time, we are going to talk more about it. But probably we will have to start going to other aspects. But if any other issue comes up, I'm going to try and see if I can talk about it. This is my opinion. Let me hear what you have to say, because I also want to learn too. Thank you very much.